for choosing to listen to a Sword of the Lord audio cassette tape. The sermon you are about to hear is entitled The Immutability of God by Dr. Curtis Hudson. This sermon was recorded at the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia, on Sunday morning, September 20th, 1970. And now, here's Dr. Curtis Hudson.
We're living in changing times. So many things change. So many things have changed since I was a boy. If I were to go back to school today, I'd have to learn all over again. I didn't learn much when I was there the first time, but I'd have to learn all over again. They don't even have the same arithmetic books they used to have. They do their math problems different. Everything's done different now. I read somewhere not long ago that if you ask a boy between the first and sixth grade what he's going to be when he grows up, that he really can't give you an honest answer, because half of the children now between the first grade and sixth grade will be holding down jobs that don't even exist today. And that gives you an idea of how things are changing. But it's a consolation to know there's some things that never change. One of the things that never change is God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13 and 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. James 1, 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's a strong statement, isn't it? You would think the way folks have changed about God, and you would think the way folks have changed about religion, and their ideas about religion and salvation and the Bible and Christianity, you would think the way their ideas have changed that God must have certainly changed. But James says in him there is no variableness. He never varies. He's the same. The same God I preach about this morning is the same God that Charles Spurgeon preached about. It's the same God Martin Luther preached about. It's the same God John Wesley preached about. It's the same God that George Whitefield preached about. God never changes. You know, we don't know enough about God. It's not that we can't know, it's just we haven't taken time to find out. I wish that I could, in a morning service, tell you everything there is to tell about God. But if I could, he wouldn't be much of a God. He's infinite. He's boundless. You can't measure God. It'd be impossible for me to tell you everything that I'd like to tell you about God, and yet I wish I could tell you. But there's one thing I want to talk with you about this morning, and that is the immutability of God. And that's really what our three texts says. God is immutable, which really means, boys and girls, that he never changes. He's the same. To say that God is immutable is to say that he never differs from himself. To say that God is immutable means that he has never been less holy than he is now, and that he'll never be more holy than he is now. And by the way, another one of God's attributes, his perfection, demands his immutability. Let me explain what I mean. If God is perfect, then he has to be immutable. That means that he can never change. Because if a man changed, he'd have to change in one of two directions. He'd either have to get better or get worse if he changed at all. And if God got better, that would mean that he wasn't perfect before he started improving. And if he got worse, that'd mean that he ceased to be perfect. So you see, his perfection demands his immutability. He stands the same in holiness. He's no more holy now than he's ever been. He's no less holy now than he's ever been. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. All that God has always been and all that he has ever been, he always will be. with things as changeable as they are, I found a real consolation in that statement. He never changes. Never changes. Now, what does this mean to me individually? When I say, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Good gifts comes down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness. What does that mean to me individually? First of all, it means that God's mood never changes. Did you ever approach anyone, and before you approached them, you would say to your wife, I think I'll wait till I catch so-and-so in a good mood. I want to talk with him about thus and thus. Or maybe you've thought that about your wife. Next time I catch her in a good mood, there's some things I want to discuss with her. You're very careful not to catch her in a bad mood. Maybe your wives are like that. You see your husband come home and he's whistling and singing and he's had a good day at the office. And inside you say, this is a good time for me to tell him I want that new washing machine. He looks like he's in a good mood. You know, God's mood never changes. You don't have to catch God in a good mood. He stays in a good mood. That's why men ought to come to Jesus Christ at any time to be saved. That's why men ought to accept an invitation for salvation at any time, because you don't have to catch God in a good mood. He's always in a good mood. Maybe you know people that when you approach them immediately they snap back and figuratively speaking they bite your head off. And you say, oh, I wish I hadn't said a thing to him this morning. Something's wrong with him. Well, you don't find God like that. Say, that's wonderful. That excites me to think about that. I mean, I can get on my knees and start praying and talking to God, and I know that I'm going to find God the same today that I found him when I went to him as an 11-year-old boy and cried out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm going to find him the same today as I found him then. Praise the Lord. His mood never changes. He never cools off in his affections. Always there, the same level. He loves me just as much today as he ever loved me. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Say, that means something else. That means his promises never change. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Jehovah the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness or slowness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. Occasionally the devil may bring something up to you and say, you think God will really do that for you, as bad as you are, and as ugly as you've lived, and as mean as you've been? You think God will really do that? You see, God's fulfilling his promise is not contingent upon how bad you are. But his fulfilling his promise is contingent upon his own faithfulness. He never changes. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, you can take the weakest promise in the Word of God and tie it around a sinner and drag him into heaven with it. And I say, amen. His promises never change. That means I can open the Bible up and find a promise of God, and I can stand on that promise. In the old country church, we used to sing, standing on the promises, I cannot fail, though the howling winds of doubt and fear assail. By the living Word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Oh, I wish I had time now to reiterate all the promises that I personally am standing on that I found in this book. Promise after promise after promise after promise. And they never change. See, when God makes a promise, God knows the future. God knows what's going to happen. He knows whether or not he'll be able to fulfill it. And he can fulfill every promise he's ever made. I've made a few promises I could not fulfill. I've had folk make promises to me they could not fulfill. When I was a little boy, my mother used to go to town about once a year, maybe twice a year. And when I say town, I mean downtown Atlanta, which was town then. We lived out in the suburbs, which was really the country. And she'd go downtown and I'd say, Mama, when you come home, bring me a little rubber car like Wayman's got, or like Larry's got, with wheels like a little red one like that. Now, Mama, whatever you do, don't forget it. And I knew, you know, when she got out of town, she'd get excited and she'd be easy to forget. I say, now, don't forget it, please. And I'd follow the old 34 Chevrolet out the driveway and holler. She went out, don't forget my car. And she'd look out the window and say, I won't. 5 hours later, she came back in. I was waiting. 5 hours I'd been waiting. And when she pulled in the drive, I'd run to the car, just all excited, you know, and where is it? Where's what? She said. I said, don't tell me you forgot it. Oh, she said, I forgot that. We got, you know, but God doesn't disappoint you. I mean, when God says something, you don't have to say, when you come up and go to claim the promise, he doesn't say, what's that? No, he knows what he said. He stands by. Let me tell you, I've been living for Christ since I was 11 years old. I never have in all my Christian experience stood on a promise in the Bible and found God unfaithful. His promises never change. That means a promise in John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means that promise is still good. Any sinner here, though 10,000 sinners have come, though 10 million sinners have come, any sinner here can come and say, is there room on that promise for me? And put his feet up on the promise that Jesus Christ died for me. And he said, if I'd believe him, I should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'll rest your feet on that promise, it has not changed. You'll have everlasting life and you'll never perish. I sure hope I make it. I'm sure glad for the promise. I hope I can endure to the end. I can stand on the promise. I have everlasting life. And as long as the promise is there, I still got it. Praise the Lord, His promises never change. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. 1 Corinthians 1:20, Numbers 23:19, hath He not said and shall He not do it? Or hath He not spoken and shall He not make it good? Say, memorize that. Hath He not said and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken and shall He not make it good? He'll make it good. The devil will come to you sometime and he'll say, now you know that wasn't enough to get saved. After all, look at how you've lived. You've been rotten and low down. But you forget what the devil says and say, but here it says, devil, if I believe, I have everlasting life. And devil, you're a liar. And the Word of God is true. And His promises never fail. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When you get through with that, the devil will be 6 blocks down the street, running, looking back. That don't mean he won't come back. When he comes back, you put it to him again. The Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. That means that His promises never change, none of them. In the First World War, a British regiment had a Colonel Whittlesey. And I read this story. I doubted really that if it was true after reading it. It seemed so impossible. But it was told to be true. And it said, through 4 years of war, that in this regiment there was not one casualty. Not one death. And somebody interviewed the colonel after 4 years and not one casualty or one death in his entire regiment. And they asked him what was the secret of it. And the colonel said, every morning we read Psalms 91. And he said, I emphasize verse 5 to the men. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by the day. And then he says in verse 15 of the same psalm, it says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. And I say, men, let's claim the promise and stand on the promise. For the 4 years we've stood on that promise, we haven't had a casualty. That's almost unbelievable. I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't a promise of God. But when you put God and the Bible in it, I believe anything. Not one promise ever failed. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. That means His mood never changes. That means His promises never change. But wait a minute. It means His plans never change. God has some plans that I don't have time to go into and explain in detail, but He made certain specific promises to Abraham, for instance, in Genesis 12. He said to Abraham, come out of the land of Ur of Chaldee and get thee out into a country where I'll show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God promised to raise up from the seed of Abraham the nation of Israel. He later confirmed that promise to Isaac, and then later confirmed the same promise to Jacob. The Jews are the most persecuted people in the world. You know why? It's not that people have things against the Jews. It's that the devil would like to keep God from fulfilling His promise. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give thee all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. I'm going to give it to thee and to thy seed after thee. All this land for an everlasting possession. The devil cannot keep God from fulfilling His promise. But if he could destroy the nation of Israel, then God would have no nation to fulfill His promise to. And he'd make God out a liar. Thus, you have the persecution of the nation of Israel, and you always will have it. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot do away with the nation of Israel. If you do, you have to throw your Bible out. Are you listening? God's plan never changes. God has a plan for the Holy Land. That's right. And you can have Golda Meir come here and have talks with our president. You can have peace talks. You can sign treaties. They can give up certain land and take back certain land. But in the final analysis, God has a plan. And God has boundaries laid out in the Bible for the nation of Israel. And the final analysis, God's plan will be fulfilled in spite of everything that everybody has to say about it. And you're not going to help Him fulfill it. He's going to fulfill it without you. Abraham tried to help Him fulfill His plan. He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Abraham had got to be an old man. Sarah was past the years of bearing children. And Abraham thought he'd help God out. And Ishmael was born, but God went on His same promise till Isaac was born. And God fulfilled His promise and made a great nation out of Abraham. God's plans never change. I don't worry about what's going to happen. Somebody said, is communism going to take the world over? No. You say, how do you know? Because it's not in the Bible. Let me give you something. Daniel chapter 2, listen to me. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel prophesied the rise and fall of the Babylonian Empire, the rise and fall of the Medo-Persian Empire, the rise and fall of the Grecian Empire, the rise and division of the Roman Empire, and the rise of another empire made up of 10 kingdoms come together. Now you can't get a communist world between the divided Roman Empire and the 10 federated kingdoms. If you get it in there, Daniel missed one somewhere down around the ankles. But friends, Daniel didn't miss one. The communists may blow their trumpet. They may do an awful lot. I'll tell you what's going to happen to Russia. Read Ezekiel 38. She's going to go into Israel. And then God said, I'll put the hook in their jaw and bring them out. And 5 out of every 6 that goes in won't come back. God's plans never change. You can't change God's plans. I'm glad I can't. I mean, He's got things lined up, and they're going to happen exactly like He said. You won't change it. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. His plans never change. You know something else? His word never changes. The only thing I know is absolute just now is truth. Truth is absolute. It's just as up to date today as it was yesterday. Truth is unchangeable. 2 and 2 was 4 when I was a little boy. 2 and 2 is still 4. They may go at it a different way, but they still get 4 when they put 2 and 2 together. Right? 3 and 3 is still 6, or used to be. Still is. You can't change truth. And this Bible's truth. This is not a bunch of fables and fairy tales. This is the truth. Everything I believe is based on this Bible. My whole life is based on this. If it's not true, I'm a cooked goose. It's true.
John 17:17, he said, Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And I don't care who comes along. I don't care how many degrees he's got behind his name. If he has so many degrees behind his name, he looks like a thermometer. And he says, well, after all, some of the Bible's true, but all the Bible's not true. And I say, liar. Would you really call him a liar? No, I'd quote Romans 3:3-4 to him, though. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid, let God be true and all men a liar. Liar. But I got a PhD. You're still a liar. You say, but I've been to school 70 years. You still haven't learned anything. You're an educated ignoramus. That's what you are. I'm going to believe God. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It never changes. Why do we want to swap off the Bible and bring lectures on how to be a good Girl Scout? I'm telling you, I get so sick. I mean, you listen, you go to hear the Bible preached, and you hear maybe one verse, and then he departs from the text. And he talks about being a good neighbor and a good Girl Scout, and you ought not to buy any grapes or something else. And you get way off, way under, somewhere else. Let's preach the truth. You know, thy word is truth, it never changes. Well, if you do that, they won't come to hear you. Well, I think they will. We have a house full this morning, and six children's churches full downstairs. We'll build an auditorium, we'll seat 2,500, and we expect to fit it up the first Sunday. Truth still draws people. People still like the truth. Just old, simple country preaching out of the Bible, verse by verse, the truth. I'd rather hear a harsh truth than a soft lie. His truth never changes. Aren't you glad? They say, well, you're out of style. They quote one preacher, said, you preach on hell. This old business of burning in a lake of fire, hell. Surely, he said, why don't you catch up with the times as you're out of time? He said, I'm afraid I can't catch up with you, fellas. Said, me and you both are going two different directions. I'm not trying to catch up with the modernistic world. I'm not going their direction. I'm preaching the Bible. God's immutably never changes. His truth never changes. Never changes. That's why I like to stand on it. You know, put your feet on this word and you're on something that'll never move out from under you. Heaven and earth shall pass away. That means if you hang on to the Empire State Building, it'll be gone. If you hang on to the Baptist church, it'll be gone. If you hang on to the preacher, he'll be gone. If you hang on to the church building, you'll be gone. If you hang on to the organization, you'll be gone. But you put your foot on this word. And it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Mark 13:31. When all the liberals and agnostics and skeptics lay down their pens and pencils and write no more, and their books are gone, we'll still have this one. When all the books about the Bible are gone, we'll still have the Bible. Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled now. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. That means his truth never changes. His word never changes. It's not like doing something else. You don't have to go back to the factory next year and learn all the new things. I mean, you just stay with this. Don't you love the Bible? I'm not a Bible worshiper, but I do love the Bible. Psalm 138:2, he said, I've magnified my word above my name. I love the Bible. It's true. It is not a scientific book, but it's scientifically correct. And the scientists have never proved anything in the Bible wrong, but the Bible has proved the scientists wrong. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. That means His love never changes. John 13, 1, the Bible said, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. He saw it through. I sure did love Him when we got married, but I fell out of love. Ever hear anything like that? Do you love me as much as you used to? I don't think you do. That means our love changes, doesn't it? I've been living with Jesus and for Jesus since I was 11 years old. He loves me just as much now as He did the day I accepted Him by faith. I'm 36 years old. I don't go to God and say, do you love me much as you used to? He never changes. I know I'm not very lovable, but He loves me. Never changes. When my friends misunderstand me, and my relatives misunderstand me, and I've had some to do that. I've had relatives that look at me and say, "That Curtis." They don't understand. But you know He loves me. Never changes. Jeremiah said He's loved us with an everlasting love. Having loved His own, He loved Him to the end. He saw it through. His love never changes. Let me say two or three other things and I'll be through. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. That means that His threatenings never change. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. There's a threatening. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's still true. That hasn't changed. We've had some folks come along and says, well, now you won't really be damned because God loves you too much for that. But His word never changes. His threatenings never change. Listen while the musician comes. He that believeth not shall be damned. That threatening never changes. You listening? Say, wait a minute. If that never changes, listen carefully. If that never changes, he that believeth not shall be damned. That means when you've been in hell for 1,000 years, it'll still read just like that. You following me? But Lord, I'm in hell already. I'm already damned. I've been damned for 1,000 years. I've been in the flames of hell now for 1,000 years. He that believeth not shall be damned. Still future. 10,000 years from now, he that believeth not shall be. But Lord, I've been in hell 10,000 years. I've suffered. I've been tormented day and night. I've been screaming and wringing my hands. 10,000 years I've been here. He that believeth not shall be damned. 10 million years go by and you look back up. But Lord, I know what the Bible said. It said, he that believeth not shall be damned. But I've been damned for 1,000,000 years. How much longer in hell? He that believeth not shall be damned. Never changes. 10 trillion years in hell, the verse will still be the same. You shall be damned. You've got to stay longer. There's never any getting out. The only way to get out of hell is to stay out. There's no back door in hell. 10 billion trillion years while we've been in heaven rejoicing with the Savior. The threatening is still, he that believeth not shall be damned. You're going to go to hell. You're going to spend eternity in hell simply because you would not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply because you would not trust Him as your Savior. Are you going to heaven simply because you did trust Him? That leads me to say one more thing. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. That means that His ability and His willingness to save has never changed and never will change. Did somebody get saved last Sunday? Here? Yes. Did somebody get saved Sunday before last? Yes. Did somebody get saved Sunday before that? Yes. Did somebody get saved 25 years ago when he was 11 years old? After he'd gone to bed one night with his overalls on? Yes. You're looking at it. Did somebody get saved on Aldersgate Street in London? When the country was in such bad shape that you could get drunk for 2 cents and there was one district you couldn't find but one Bible and it was used to prop up a flower pot, did a fellow named John Wesley get saved on Aldersgate Street that night? Yes. Did a fellow named Newton get saved who was a slave seller and write Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Song? Yes. Was God willing to save him? Yes. Then he's just as willing to save you now. Before the service, a man came to my office and told me about his experience, how he had been saved. And he'd cry and weep as he told me about it. And he said, but I lived so wicked before I was saved. Has God forgiven me? And I explained to him as quickly as I could, because I had to come to the platform, that when God saves you, your whole past is gone. As far as God's concerned, he doesn't remember a thing you did before the night you got saved. Not that he's forgetful or absent-minded, but he chooses to forget it. He said, I'll put your sins in the depths of the sea. I'll remember your sins no more. He's forgotten. God is just as willing to save now. The only reason you're not saved is that you're not willing to come and accept him as your Savior. Say, you know, if I wasn't saved, I'd come back there now and sit down and have him sing the invitation. I'd come get saved. Because he's the Lord God. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He still requires the same thing for salvation. He requires that you see yourself as a sinner and believe that Jesus died for you and paid what you owe. And he requires that you depend on that and that alone to get you to heaven. And if you'll come and say, Lord Jesus, I've come this morning to accept you as my Savior, I'll guarantee you that you'll be saved, because he's the Lord God and he changes not.
We pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. For a free catalog, please call 1-800-251-4100. Or you may reach us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.